In this episode of Movie Wallahs, we're going to discuss the movies The Odd Life of Timothy Green and The Campaign. It's time for Movie Wallahs. Hi, this is Joe.
Hi, it's Rashmi.
And yes, you as well. Hello, everyone.
Movie Wallahs is your weekly dose of film reviews, movie news, and general banter in theatres, on DVD, online streaming, or in the back of an airplane. If you love the movies, this show is for you. I would say hi to you guys, but we've just recorded back-to-back the previous episode. So this is really a continuation of where we started, which was originally going to be an epic marathon of an episode, but I think it made more sense to break it up into two. So I guess we can just carry on where we left off. Which one do you want to do first? The Odd Life
sure,
of Timothy
actually,
Green?
Sure, actually, Yazdi's doing both the intros for this, so...
Ah, okay.
Poor Yazdi's been loaded with the homework.
Right, you go for it.
Okay. So, Cynthia and Jim Green are a young couple in a small town in America, which is famous for manufacturing pencils. The movie begins with the couple being informed that all of their medical efforts to conceive a child have failed. Sad and overwhelmed, they cope that night by opening a bottle of wine and paying one last tribute to the child they will never have by writing down all of the attributes that they would have liked in their kid. There is a storm that night. Early next morning, they find a fully grown boy covered in mud walking about in their house. The boy claims that they are his parents. Oh, and there are leaves growing out of his feet. The movie is directed by Peter Hedges and co-written by Hedges and Ahmed Zappa, of all people. And it stars Jennifer Garner and Joel Edgerton as the parents, and CJ Adams in the title role.
Rashmi, what do you think of Timothy Green?
Okay, so for me, firstly, I think this should have been a holiday movie. Secondly, I didn't understand it. I almost thought we were getting a remake of Mary Poppins, but I got a series of little scenes that constituted a movie with huge, big Swiss cheese size holes in it. I didn't love this. I enjoyed it in the moment, just.
I thought this was a wonderful little film. I'm not sure who it's aimed at, though, because I thought it was a little dull for young viewers, and Disney seems to be marketing it to as kind of a kids' movie. And I thought it was a little too fantastical for the more cynical of adults of today. So, you know, it's not that we as adults can't enjoy fairy tales, but it was just an odd tone to it. But I did like it.
Okay, I have a few things to say. What's Eating Gilbert Grape? A Map of the World, About a Boy, Pieces of April, Dan in Real Life. You know, this could be a list of films that I've secretly loved and admired over the years. And they're all films which are directed by Peter Hedges, whose latest movie is The Odd Life of Timothy Green. So I wanted this movie to completely knock it out of the park. And, you know, I'm a sucker for these kinds of movies. I mean, I saw the trailer and I was hoping this would be the kind of movie which really resonates. And, you know, what could have gone wrong? I mean, all the ingredients are all there. A simple, mystical storyline, good actors, a director I've liked before. And I wanted this movie to have been, you know, classic. Like, I wanted it to be like To Kill a Mockingbird. I wanted it to be like Pinocchio, you know, with which it shares quite a few similarities in terms of the story. And I, you know, I think this movie could have been E.T. or it could have even been Lion King. And so by all of those expectations, I think the movie fell really short. I think all the ingredients were there for this being one of the big greats. And so I'm disappointed by this director because he's always delivered so well before. And so in light of those expectations, I think the movie falls. I don't even think it's in the league of something like My Dog Skip. But, you know, for what it is, it's not bad. It's a little better than average.
I mean, for me, it just felt so forced and overacted from the precious Timothy to Jennifer Garner, who was so sweet and unbelievable. And dare I say it, yet another Rosemary DeWitt hard sister act. I don't know. It just didn't have heart for me. And yet this is supposed to be all heart.
Yeah, I think it was very contrived. I think the whole movie felt very forced. And I think some of the magic that they were trying to create there, they ended up creating this kind of sugar-coated idealism where you find it really hard to buy into what you're seeing. And it felt, I think, was very much intended to be a fairy tale. But it would have almost been better served as an animation, was it not, for some of the darker elements
in the movie. That's a really good point.
I mean, Timothy Green was a delightful little character, and I think he would have been a lot of fun to see as an animated character. And I think that would have been better for the younger viewers. So I don't know if there was ever that consideration during production for this movie.
Yeah, I agree, Joe. I think it all comes down to the treatment of the material, and that's why I'm so surprised to see this director stumble. And I mean, to be sure, the story is unique and better than a lot of, you know, nonsense that kids watch. But why is this film, for lack of a better word, Disney-fied? I mean, it's, you know, it's almost too afraid to get too dark or too, it's very quick to resolve adversities. And at some point, it's just stopped being believable. And I don't think it's because of the mystical, fantastical elements of the movie that I was willing to embrace. It's just this overly simplified, squeaky clean, you know, no problem shall last too long sensibility of the movie. I almost think some studio hands got their hand on a much darker script and somehow said, you know, let's make Blind Side out of it. You know, by the way, I like Blind Side, but still it seemed too Disney-fied for me.
At least Blind Side had a really good story. This story was twisty and turny, and I just didn't get the point of it. I didn't understand what was happening in the moment. It was a mess. And you know, a film like this should have some really good cry moments in it. And I didn't have one cry moment, not even a welling up. I was just thinking, like the kid behind who would not stop talking, when is this film going to be over?
Yeah, it's not for younger viewers.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I complain about the film, but unlike you, Rashmi, I will admit that I did choke up at more than one place. And I think the movie did that by virtue of its story, in spite of being completely covered with syrup. I actually think this is a good story. I think it's a story about, you know, there are a lot of movies like this, about this mystical creature who comes, it's almost imagined by people, and they come into their lives and change them. You know, and it sounds, you know, corny and silly, but I mean, I think when it works, it really works. Like Pinocchio really works. You know, To Kill a Mockingbird. I mean, these are big, big, big movies. And I think this could have been a movie like that, but they just ruined it by the treatment.
I mean, the thing for me is, you know, I really want to like just Jennifer Garner. I think she works really hard in this movie, but I have a really hard time watching her on screen.
I thought she did very well with the character that was written. And I think bigger problem, I think, was the way that the character and every character in this movie was written. It was just cotton candy. You know, that was the whole thing. Saccharine-y sweet.
With no payoff.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else? Go on.
Yeah. I mean, I think all of the actors are wasted. I mean, Joel Edgerton, who was just brilliant in The Warrior. Remember him in The Warrior?
Yeah.
He was so good in that movie. I mean, he's staring at the floor, you know, in half the scenes in the movie. And you know, yet again, how do you waste Rosemary DeWitt, you know? But, and, you know, this director has gotten great performances before, you know, from Katie Holmes and Patricia Clarkson in Pieces of April.
And Hugh Grant,
Toni Collette in About a Boy. And I think nobody comes out unscathed, you know, with the exception maybe of Diane Weiss. You know, I think she was still believable, but... So I don't know what, something went wrong there.
Okay, let's wind this one up then. Joe, why don't you go first?
I enjoyed this movie in the moment. I read a quote somewhere recently about Alfred Hitchcock talking about refrigerator movies, which are kind of enjoyable in the moment, but the moment you kind of come out of them, they start to go bad. And that's really what happened with this movie. I did enjoy the experience of watching it. I just don't think there's much remaining having come out. And there are certainly better movies in the theatres right now. So I wouldn't run out and see this one. I don't know who the hell it's aimed at. I mean, I wouldn't take kids to see it. I don't think it's a kid's, you know, some of the themes will resonate with them. I wouldn't recommend adults go and see it. So because of its contrived sweetness. So I don't know what on earth they were doing with this. Yeah, six out of 10.
That was a sneaky way of doing a 5.5, Joseph. out of 10. It landed on 6 out of 10 from Joe. Yazdi.
Yeah, so I'm critical of this film because I believe it could have been one of the all-time greats. But as it is, I think it still has its heart in the right place and somehow overcomes the treatment of the material. It means well, and I think actually it will work very well with younger viewers as long as you're 5 and older. I think if you're younger than 5, some of the themes might be pretty devastating for them. So I think actually this movie is from the 5-year-old to maybe the 12 to 14-year-old set. I think they will enjoy it. And so based on that, I will give it a 6.5 out of 10. And because it did make me well up in spite of the cheesiness, I bumped that to 7 out of 10.
Oh my God. You guys are really liberal with your scores. So in true Rashmi fashion then, I hate it, I hate it, I hate it. I didn't get the message of this movie. It seemed to want to be a sweet fable, but like I said before, it ended up being a big confused mess. And why did nobody around Timothy ask any questions? 4 out of 10.
What questions about the leaves growing?
Where did he come from? Why did they suddenly have a son? Why did he go away? Was he buried under the ground?
I'm glad they didn't ask. I that would have been silly. I think you just.
What was the whole little girl about? It was a bit Moonrise Kingdom in this romance between, you know, a 10-year-old who's, you know, 4 foot nothing and a 5 foot 5, 12-year-old.
I hate it.
It just didn't make sense. It didn't make sense.
I think the reason we're seeing that increasingly in movies, and I think the reason for it is because for the same age, girls are always taller than boys.
All right. So let's move on to our next movie, which is The Campaign.
So here's the hook for this film. It stars Will Ferrell and Zach Galifianakis as rival candidates for a political party nomination. They're rivals who will stop at nothing to win the campaign trail. That's really all you need to know to bring backsides to fill the seats where the movie is playing. This comedy is directed by Jay Roach, who previously helmed 2 of the Austin Powers films, 2 of the Meet the Parents films, and 2 of the sharpest political films made for HBO, Recount and Game Change. In this film, Will Ferrell plays a seasoned politician and presumed frontrunner, and Zach Galifianakis plays his naive novice challenger. The film also stars Jason Sudeikis, Dylan McDermott, John Lithgow, and Dan Aykroyd. I haven't seen this film, but please tell me it is more brilliant political commentary like Game Change and less silly humor like Meet the Fockers.
I wish I could tell you that. I think I was hoping for something that was a little more biting in its satire. The movie was very funny in places, but I do think it tended to lean a little more on the slapstick instead of being a little more clever. So it was a very funny movie, don't get me wrong here, but I was hoping for something, especially because we're in an election year, that would have poked a bit more fun at the whole political system.
So before I went into the screening, I wrote a prediction, which I don't normally do. And what I wrote on my page was, everything is in the trailer and it will rely on rudeness to provide laughs, especially because Galifianakis. I'm sorry to say I predicted right. This film is one big, fairly unfunny cliche, and the fine line between funny and rude was crossed so many times.
Oh, no. I mean, I thought the movie was very funny. I mean, I found myself laughing, but it was really the rude, crude type of humor. And it was funny. I mean, just to address one point, Zach Galifianakis, I hope I haven't butchered his name, I thought was as good here as I've ever seen him. I mean, he was better than he has been in kind of a lot of recent movies. But and what I liked here was that he wasn't the standard Zach G character. He was a little more intelligent than the usual kind of, you know, loser that you find at the bottom of a toilet bowl, which is what he typically plays.
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, I like political incorrectness, but it has to be subtle and infrequent. And this was completely the opposite. This was in your face and racial typecasting, which I think amounts to lazy. Some of the satire, I think, was clever, Joe, like you were saying, but there was an opportunity to do so much more. I absolutely agree with you. And it was just so silly. It felt like an extended Saturday Night Live skit more than a movie.
Yeah, it did go over the top as well. I mean, these were two crazy characters that, you know, do things that politicians do. You know, Will Ferrell plays a character who can't keep it in his pants.
Is there much by way of a plot? It seems like the movie is all premise and then gags which play off of it. I mean, is there a progression of plot in terms of things happening? And
the plot is that these two people are running for office in a small town. That's it.
Yeah, that's what I said. Go on.
No, you're exactly right, Yesley. Yeah. It's a premise.
Yeah, that's why I said it. Honestly, it's like an extended Saturday Night Live skit.
And it kind of goes through the motions here and there. It is extremely funny, though. I mean, I did find that many of the jokes kind of had me laughing, and the jokes themselves were somewhat clever, although I wish they had been, you know, in a movie called The Campaign, you want them to be talking about politics. Here we've just got two cartoon characters going at it, and, you know, they may as well have been doing it with, you know, squeaky noses and squirty flowers from the shirt button pocket.
I haven't got anything more to say on this movie.
Doesn't make me want to rush out and see it. I'll wait till it gets on DVD.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, it is entertaining, and I think if you are looking for something that is not going to require too much in the way of your attention on a Friday night, something that will give you a bit of a smile, something that's very easy to watch. You can maybe grab a beer while you're watching it. you know,
grab three. It might make it a bit more enjoyable.
I mean, I don't think it's as bad as you're saying, but I don't think this is a great movie in any way, shape, or form, which is sad. I think, given the cast that we had here, the caliber of actors, and I love Will Ferrell. He just has to appear on screen for me to start laughing and smiling. So, you know, to see him not fully utilized, to see a movie that has such great potential in terms of its premise kind of fall flat on its face and rely on these silly, silly slapstick gags.
You know, Joe, you're the second person in as many days to say that when Will Ferrell appears on the screen, that's all he has to do to make you start laughing.
I love him.
I'm not as much of a Will Ferrell fan. I mean, he's hit or miss for me. He's very good when he's good, but other times he just seems to be coasting.
See, I'm with you, Yazdi.
It seems to me like this was a good premise, but maybe they should have worked on the script a little bit more and polished it and made it a little bit more accomplished.
Yeah. So let's wrap this one up.
Yeah, Rashmi's bored. She's like, let's just get out of Dodge, which the movie did also very well. It ran a very short course. I think we were in and out of there in just over an hour, it felt like. So I think it was like an hour and 25 minutes. So it was very, you know, it didn't overstay its welcome. Did I give this a score?
Not yet. You're being a politician.
I'm doing everything but answering the question that you want me to answer. So I'm going to give this a 6 out of 10.
So no doubt this is a timely film, and I feel like this is Hollywood's way of making us go out and vote. I'll leave it up to you to decide which way they're pushing us. This is such a low standard of comedy that it's trying to cater to the lowest possible denominator. I'm going to campaign that you don't waste your time and see this one. I'm going to give this one a 3 out of 10.
Yee.
No.
You didn't find it funny?
No. I found some, like maybe 10% of it belly laugh and maybe another 10%. Made me smile, but I just found it so dull, and I was so tired of Will Ferrell and Zach Galifianakis by the end of it.
You are hot or cold. That's good. I like that. You have conviction, I mean, in your beliefs.
Like, I do agree with you, Joe, though. You know, maybe it's a Friday night if you don't want to think about anything else, but make sure that you've had a couple of beers.
It's disposable.
It's so disposable.
It's not a classic.
I just think of what good that money could have done.
They could have financed 10 Celeste and Jessies forever.
Yeah, yeah.
Sad thing is, it will probably take in the box office 10 of what Celeste and Jessie Forever
took. It's so true.
Which is really annoying, but. Oh, well, yeah. That's distribution these days.
But yay, that's the end of the podcast, and it means we can go and eat something.
Yay. I am hungry now.
Me too.
There's a new pho place opened opposite us. We tried it last night. We might go there for a sandwich.
Oh, really? Sounds good to me.
Banh mi sandwiches.
Yeah, I saw that pho place. Is it any good?
We went
last
night.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah. Well, I should be corrected. It's pho. Not pho. I always call it pho because that's how it's written. Do we live in Vietnam? No. So on that note, mail at movierollers.com for comments, twitter.com/movierollers, facebook.com/movierollers, and the main Movie Rollers site. Check us out. There are loads of ways you can interact and get more Movie Rollers. So do. Until our next episode,
too many movies.
Too little time. Goodbye from me.
And me.
And me as well.